Hey, welcome back to New Orleans, Louisiana for TechEd North America 2013. With me, Brad McCabe. How are you, Brad?
Pretty good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Tell everybody what you do.
So I am Brad McCabe. I'm a senior product marketing manager with the Windows group.
You're a Windows guy.
I'm a Windows guy. Hey, you've got the Windows shirt.
So this session here, and for the next little bit, we're going to talk about the updates to Windows, and actually kind of more in general Windows discussion.
Right.
So let's first kind of jump right in and talk a little bit about, you know, kind of Windows 8 in general, or just Windows in general and customer reaction to Windows 8 and then Windows 8.1 announcements. You want to cover that first?
Yeah, so I mean, we're seeing great response to Windows 8 in the market. As we were saying in the keynote the other day, we've sold over 100 million licenses already to date. You know, we've got many apps in over 70,000 of them, in fact, in the App Store. Hundreds of millions of downloads of those apps. So great momentum there. But you know, it's not just about big numbers, right? It's about solving actual customer business problems. Mm-hmm. And if you look, we've got some great stories out there. You know, we highlighted very, very quickly through the keynote yesterday some of those. You know, you saw Toyota Racing in there, you know, actually using this in a sport where, you know, milliseconds and seconds matter. You know, to get that data. But there's, you know, that concept can be applied to so many more lines of business and lines of business applications, that real-time information. You know, you see Emirates, for example, Emirates Airlines, another great example, where they've got their pursers now outfitted with the HP tablets. They're in the cabins, moving up and down. You know, they do all of their in-flight work, but they can also bring a great customer experience out there. Because let's say you're on a flight, you're a little cramped in the coach section, you know, you've been like me.
We're tall guys. Cramped in the coach section.
You end up on that flight from like Seattle to Dubai with the kid behind your seat that wants to use it for gymnastics. Well, you know, you call over the flight attendant, the purser. They can actually, with that app, do an in-flight upgrade right there, deduct it off of your account, move you up into business class. Get you a, you know, something you can fit, get you away from the kid.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, so solving real problems. You know, Sheraton was in there as well. Another great example that you saw. And, you know, there's many more out on the website.
So you mentioned line of business applications and what Toyota Racing has done, which is actually really cool. We did a discussion, did an interview with them that we're actually out to you guys a little bit later. It was a recorded thing when we could catch the crew chief and the driver. Amazing stuff, but it wasn't just the line of business application with them, and it's the same thing with Emirates. It's not just the app, it's also the form factor. So talk a little bit about kind of that differentiator in the tablet space.
Yeah, I mean, we believe, and what we hear back from a lot of our customers that are adopting that we talk to, right, that it's about having the best business tablet. And we believe that we have that, right? You've got a great set of devices, you know, whether it's Surface or any one of the other devices from our OEM partners, you know, but it's also the experience. You know, we have a great experience down there, but then the security, the manageability, all of those things, right? It's not just, you know, experiences and devices that users love, but it's the IT grade solutions that IT need to really bring it together.
It's more than just Angry Birds Star Wars?
Exactly. You know, sometimes it's about not letting you play Angry Birds and Star
Wars. Yeah, I can't accept that. I actually demand that I get my Angry Birds Star Wars.
Well, Brad, you have to talk to your IT department about that.
I have to talk to my IT department. I see. That's how it goes. So folks at home, if you're watching live, don't forget, you can ask your questions. So go ahead and enter into the Q&A panel there. We'll get your questions up here for Brad talking about Windows, Windows 8. Let me start off with the same question I started off when I did the post-press conference keynote with Irwin. And I want to talk about the enterprise story, like IT story around Windows 8. It's always been one of the common themes of any event that I do when I go out and I talk about Windows.
Right.
What's the IT story inside of Windows 8? And then let's extend that question a little bit further and talk about 8.1.
Sure. So, I mean, there's a lot of value there for customers, right? You know, and there's value around tablets. We were talking a lot about having the best business tablet, but there's so much more than just tablets there, right? You talk about mobility, things like Windows to Go, right? The ability to have on a USB stick your entire operating system, your corporate image and desktop, and being able to put that in a machine, boot that machine up, and have it yours. There is a tremendous amount of security enhancements and other things in that arena there in Windows 8 to help take security to the next level. You know, we've looked at a lot of the data, and you are 6 times less likely with Windows 8 to have an issue with malware than you are with Windows 7. And I mean, I think we can all agree, Windows 7 is a very, very secure operating system. But you look at that, right? You know, and it's over 20 times more likely to have issues with malware if you're still on Windows XP, right? If you've been kind of not really paying attention and realizing Windows XP end of support is coming up, right? Here's one more reason to make that move, right? So you got a lot of security there in Windows 8. We did a lot of enhancements around things like virtualization to make sure if you're running a VDI environment that with Windows 8 you get better performance over the wire, that it's more compact and efficient, that it's that desktop-like experience in your VDI session.
So you've really kind of taken, and particularly around VDI, a lot of the concerns. You know, when even when Windows 7 came out, virtualization was still reality, just a little bit beyond it. Maybe it was not an infant, maybe a toddler, you know, maybe, right, maybe just kind of growing up, and particularly desktop virtualization. Mm-hmm. So as an operating system, you've kind of taken, hey, we know customers want to run Windows 8 in a virtual environment and enhanced it there.
Right.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, so there's a lot of great enhancements there. And I mean, that whole story just gets better with Windows 8.1. You know, Windows 8.1 is a free update out there for Windows 8, right? So it builds on top of that solid foundation that we laid with Windows 8 and just makes the story get better. I mean, we've got a lot of things there for the enterprise. You know, talking about, you know, since most of the people watching out there are IT pros and IT professionals, right? One of the things that they're able to do, as Ian was showing with Windows 8.1, is take and control the start screen of their users, right? You know, Ian took Sarah, our fictitious marketing user. I took a little offense to the marketing categorization there. I'll take that. But
what do you mean? You can't tell me.
Some of us in marketing know how to move our tiles.
Can you actually work without kitty cat wallpaper, Brad? I'm just asking.
It's been tough, but I've gone to Hello Kitty on mine.
Oh, you've gone to Hello Kitty.
Yes,
okay.
But then IT locked me down.
So that's been one of the concerns. Understanding, and I've done a lot of talking. I've had a lot of folks talk about, you know, the changes in the UI, and we've gone through all of that stuff. But the concern is that IT control, and Brad even talks about this Brad Anderson talked about it in the keynote. That kind of, there's this expectation that I bring my device, but at the same time, IT has to manage that control and that security. So though the changes to just that start screen control, it's huge for IT.
Right, and I mean, the world is changing. It's getting very gray out there for IT. I mean, you know, and you saw a lot of this in the keynote, right? It's not just, you know, taking control like you could do with the start screen, but what do I do in a BYOD scenario, for example?
Right.
Right, how do I manage that? How do I find that middle ground, right? Because in some corporations, BYOD means the user actually bought it. In other corporations, it might mean they had some type of stipend or maybe they got to choose from a list of devices. But generally, it's a device the user's owned and they've brought in. So now we kind of get to this balancing act, right? As IT, we still got to protect and we still got to control our data, right? You don't get to go to the CIO, for example, and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, we lost, all this, custom information, this proprietary stuff." But you know, that guy wanted to bring his own device in, right? So how do we do that? And you saw some of that in the keynote, but there's so much more there in Windows 8.1. And one of those areas, for example, is we're opening up the management protocol on Windows RT. So today with Windows 8, you can manage RT devices with Windows Intune.
Yes.
In the Windows 8.1 timeframe, we will open up those protocols for external vendors. Now, we still believe that Windows Intune is the best MDM solution out there, but if you've made investments in, say, Mobile Iron or AirWatch or some of these other vendors, and you want to leverage those investments, you'll be able to manage those Windows RT devices with those third-party devices. And you know, if you're a developer out there watching and you come up with some great MDM solution, those will be open protocols. So, you know, you'll be able to take and build on them and leverage them as well. But then we take that work there and we also bring that over to x86, to that space as well. So if you think of x86, there's a bit of a continuum on management, right? Out on this side, we've got enterprise management, that deep, rich management. Maybe I do with group policy, system center today. And on this side of the spectrum, we have things like Exchange Active Sync, where very, very lightweight management, right? I can set a few policies here or there.
Yeah, basically, allow me to wipe it. You have to have a password.
Exactly. With MDM, though, in that middle space now I've got more flexibility as IT, which is really what it's about, right? Giving IT the controls that they need to figure out where on that spectrum is right for their business. And it might not even be one place, right? Some of their business might need to be here, and some of their business needs to be over here. And we give them that choice, you know, whether it's that spectrum of use that Ian talked about from home to super lockdown. You could think of that spectrum of use, you know, in the customization of the start screen or in the management tools that IT chooses. You know, it's really about enabling customers to do what they need to do.
So in the enterprise IT space, this is really intriguing to me, this MDM solution. And I want to point out that it goes beyond just Windows RT.
Yes.
You're starting to pull that x86 over. So you may have scenarios, and I've seen it and done this in my IT career, where maybe it doesn't make sense to have that machine, that domain joined, completely managed with an agent, with systems. I mean, in the ideal world, me as an IT guy, an unmanaged device is a device that I don't want anywhere.
Right.
And it just seemed like there was this big gap there. Is either you get no control or you have to have this big infrastructure and
right.
support system inside of there. So it's very interesting that it's not just, hey, we're going to give you more options with the RT, but to have that even kind of go the opposite direction, right? Because we think of x86 as kind of like that ideal platform.
Right, and you've got that flexibility, right? So you could choose that maybe this group over here needs to be really locked down. We need a lot of control over them because of the nature of what they do. But, you know, maybe BYOD is the right answer for this particular segment of my business. So, I mean, you don't have to think of your business as one big giant blob and manage it and secure it and do everything the exact same way, right? You got to think of your business in different groups and choose what's right for each one of those.
Awesome. Awesome. So for our folks at home, easy for me to say, we've got questions. So Grant asked an awesome question talking about the remote business data tool. And I believe if I'm catching this question right, this is around the whole idea of wiping an entire
yes.
device versus and keeping my personal data versus losing everything.
Right. And that was something that Molly had demoed in the keynote, where what I'm able to do is I'm able to take, and when I've got my device set up properly for this, I could install some line of business apps, maybe from the Intune self-service portal. Maybe they've got some data down there. I've got other business data on that machine. Now I've got the ability to take and wipe just that business data, right? If you think about wipes in some other environments, they're very black and white. I either wipe the entire device or I don't. But in a BYOD scenario, there's a lot of shades of gray, right? You know, you're running around, you're taking that device, maybe you just went to your daughter's wedding and now you've got, you know, all of those photos, and IT goes, I'm sorry, wipe.
you're out of policy, right?
Exactly.
And there it goes. Yeah.
You know, and what happens to all of that you wipe? But, right, So you got to be respectful of the user's data, especially if it's a user device.
Right.
But like we were saying earlier, you know, that's not going to get you out of trouble with your boss if that user loses their device
with
your data.
If the plans to the Death Star were on your individual tablet and it fell into the wrong hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, I think, you know, in that little video we saw at the keynote, maybe if they had stolen Brad's tablet instead of his USB, we could have just, you know, gone out and selectively wiped that that data.
Keep the tablet.
Exactly.
Keep the tablet. Yeah. Frank Rogers asks, what has improved in multi-monitor support in Windows 8.1?
So, you know, there's a good blog out there that came out last week that talks about a lot of the enhancements pretty much across the product. So I would encourage people to go out, take a look at that blog out there. But we will also do a much, much deeper dive when we get to build in a few weeks, where we'll go through all of these UI enhancements. These guys, the show, these guys here being IT pros, we brought the kernel guy with us, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go have that deep down discussion. At Build, though, we will have that that UI discussion. We'll talk a lot more about things like multiple monitor there.
Okay, so now let me ask you the next question that I get all the time, and that actually, Frank, that was a good question because I hear that all the time.
Yes.
The next one. Okay, I just did Windows 7, right? Mm-hmm. Or hopefully, guys, get off of XP, right? April 2014, get off of XP. Like, common rumor, I hear this even still, people think we're extending even beyond.
No.
2014, no, that's
get
it.
Get off XP.
Done, end of support, nothing.
Let's be clear, XP, move.
Yes.
Right, deployment guidance for Windows XP, get to a modern operating system, right?
And that could be Windows 7.
That could be Windows 7. Windows 7 is a great operating system. I love Windows, you know, 7,
yep.
8.
Yep.
Just get off of XP, right?
So I've already made that jump. Yes. Now I've got Windows 8, Windows 8.1, and I'm looking at this and I'm going, I just did all of this. Am I going to have to completely go and redo my entire solution or go through this entire process? Because that was, I mean, reality was XP to Windows 7, it was a fairly big jump in terms of, and it's right. It's for the right reasons, right? It's security, how apps behave, everything right. Else like that. Now I got Windows 8.
Right. So, I mean, there's a couple of things to consider here. So, first off, your apps that you have, your desktop apps on Windows 7 are going to run on Windows 8. Right, there was a much bigger chasm from application compatibility point of view that you had to cross when you left XP.
Mm-hmm.
Right, from 7 to 8, that app compatibility bar is very, very high. So there's a lot there to help you. But people need to understand, you know, the deployment guidance for the vast majority of customers is not to, woo, we just got done, let's do it all again, right? You know,
yay!
Hey, we just had the machine fired up, we were cranking the crank, let's just keep on cranking. I mean, that's not...
The never-ending deployment project.
Exactly, and that is not the deployment guidance. I mean, there will be some customers, deployment guidance is a funny thing because, you know, each person is in a slightly different place.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, right, Windows 7 and Windows 8 can coexist, and that's the right answer for most customers, right? There are scenarios where Windows 8 makes sense in your business. That could make sense, for example, with tablets. So maybe my business and my main PC estate is running Windows 7, but I've got some users, and they're highly mobile, and tablet makes sense. Bring Windows 8 in there, right? You're running System Center 2012. It's going to work mm-hmm. with Windows 8. You're mm-hmm. using things like MDT to do deployment. It's going to work with Windows 8. Your apps that are running on Windows 7 are going to work with Windows 8. So they can coexist. They can be side by side. So start using Windows 8 in those places that make sense. We talked about Windows to Go. Maybe an area where you bring it in. Maybe you're doing VDI. We were talking about those enhancements. That's where you bring it in.
Maybe right. I need Hyper-V on my desktop for developers, right?
Exactly. Dev test scenario with mm-hmm. Client Hyper-V could be another scenario. So, you know, we see a lot of organizations, they bring 8 in for particular reasons. Now, what we see with a lot of these early adopters out there in the market today is they brought it in for a specific reason. But once you give someone touch, it's really hard. Like, if you've ever had a touch device, which I know you have, right, you've probably experienced this. my wife hands me her old laptop, and every time I'm in Internet Explorer, I'm going like this. I've smudged her screen to pieces.
Well, and the worst part is when you go back, right? Because yeah. I've got my normal laptop, which actually currently is not touch enabled. And I go from, you know, having my Surface with me at all times, and then then you've got your coworkers coming up trying to swipe your screen too. Yeah, it's over here. Quit it.
Yeah. So I mean, for a lot of customers, we see them once they bring touch in, it grows. And I mean, as we look at the market for hardware going into next year, you look at a lot of the analyst reports, and touch in laptops is on a ramp like that, right? So. Yeah. By the end of next year, you're going to see just touch pretty much pervasive everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people really should. Now's the time for a lot of organizations that they're thinking about next year's IT budget. It's at a very early stage. People should start thinking about touch in those devices through their natural hardware refresh.
Okay.
And for a lot of these organizations, they might have brought 8 in for, say, tablet. But what they're thinking now is, well, through my natural PC refresh, I'm just going to bring 8 in on those new touch machines, and eventually I'll be there at all 8. But you know, there's nothing wrong with coexisting and moving as you need to.
You brought up an interesting point, Brad, that I want you to kind of talk a little bit more. You talked about the deployment tools, the MDTs, those kinds of things. So I made a ton of investment in those tools and getting those images built for Windows 7. Windows 8. I'm not having to go back through and relearn this new tool set, this new deployment methodology, WIMS, everything else there yet.
Right. All that you know, if you have had fun, you've learned all of your DISM commands, you know, you got them committed to memory.
DISM online enable feature.
Exactly. You're the DISM ninja. That's a bit of a tongue twister. You're the DISM ninja in the company. That, you know, you keep using it. You know, you're the MDT guru. Great. Keep using those skills, right? Because we're just building on top of that foundation, whether it's your foundation as an IT pro and the knowledge in your head, or the foundation of the operating system of the bits and the bytes down there.
Yep. Christian asked the 8.1 preview, which we talked about in the keynote, yesterday? Yeah, yesterday was Monday, right?
Yesterday was Monday.
It just feels like we've been in New Orleans
a
very long time. Will it be available on both x86 and RT or Pro/versions? Is there an RT version, I think, ideally the question.
So, when the preview comes out, everyone will be able to run it. I personally hope everyone runs it on their Surface device, but I'm a little biased.
You're a Windows guy. It's okay.
We've got great OEM devices as well, and they will all run it. So, you know, it's not just a Surface thing, just to be sure. But we're all clear on that point. But yeah, she'll be able to check out both the x86 version and the RT version on June 26th when that's out there. And, you know, I'd encourage everyone watching, set the calendar, set your little timer.
I think everybody has their alarms on their phones already set, and probably calendar entries to remind them as well, 24 hours before. That's how we IT guys work.
I was going to say, for IT, it's kind of like Christmas in June. We need to make those little chains and start ripping off every day, counting down.
That is a fantastic idea. You have one in your office, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, totally caught you on that one. We just got a few minutes left. I noticed that earlier this morning, you did a session. And we were talking about, Rick and I were talking about this earlier, kind of the questions about Windows that you were afraid to ask. What was one that really kind of got you that really you didn't expect? Or what are those questions maybe that you get all the time that maybe people need to absolutely know the answer to?
Yeah, so I mean, there were a lot of good questions. My personal favorite was, when the guy said, so you're all marketing people. Tell me why I should buy Windows 8.1, and that was my personal favorite.
Right.
You know, it's something I'm passionate about. I got to have a chat about that. There were a lot of good questions in there around deployment. We had a very interesting conversation about ImageX and DISM, for example. And the future of how under the hood it's all a whim. And the APIs that you access, how all of that is coalescing now inside of DISM, and you can just use command lines from DISM to do all of that, and how that is moving towards PowerShell.
And I saw Mike was in that session, so he was probably talking
about
using, absolutely, all these terms that none of us can figure out.
We had a great security discussion. Security was top of mind on a lot of people out there, so great conversation.
And is that general security around the operating system and, you know, that shift? I mean, reality is XP 10, 11, 12 years old, and the security models changed.
The threat landscape has changed dramatically in the last 12 to 18 months even. I mean, we've seen huge shifts in that time alone, you know, let alone, I mean, what was the scary thing you had to worry about when XP shipped? I mean, it was like some guy with, if you remember these things called floppy disk, you know, and he'd come up to you and maybe that floppy disk had a virus, or maybe there was something in that Word document.
Evil.
You know, the world is so different from then.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Couple last questions before I let you go. First, Windows 8.1 releasing
June 20th.
The
actual release, not the preview.
The preview.
Sorry, caught me on that one.
Yep.
That comes out later this year.
Okay.
The preview is
we'll
on June 20th.
The calendar year this year?
Yes, this calendar year.
Awesome. And then second of all, where can the folks at home go to get more information, particularly around all these amazing things that we still get talking about things and can't stop it, around Windows 8.1 that we talked about?
Yeah, so the Springboard site out on TechNet is a great source of information. There's a couple of good blogs to take a look at. There's Stephen Rose just did a blog out there on Springboard that goes into a lot of the IT Pro features in Windows 8.1 that we didn't have a chance to talk about today. There's also another great blog on the Windows for Your Business blog at a little bit higher level that folks can check out. And there's a blog from our engineering leadership team that talks about a lot of the new features, some of the UI enhancements and others that folks should check out there.
Awesome. And also, if you haven't watched the keynote, watch the keynote.
Definitely.
The first
keynote
set of
rock.
Demos. Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome. All right, folks, we're going to come back. I believe we've got some Canadian guy who wears a green hat talking about some more Windows Server stuff. We're TechEd North America 2013, Channel 9 Live. We'll see you in a bit.